So the Bible reading is from 1 Corinthians 15. We're starting at verse 12. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God. For we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then all those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep.
Let's pray. Father, right now as we consider your word, I pray that you would be at work among us by your Spirit, doing what only you can do. So Father, I pray that you take what I've prayed over and prepared, but that you would do much more than that. That you take it as an offering, but by your Spirit, that you would be at work in people's hearts and minds this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I don't know if you've ever had people think you've risen from the dead. Anyone? But let me just commend it. It's great fun. Absolutely. When I was 14, right now someone's going, oh, Sean's finally lost it. Like, what is he going to say next? No. When I was 14, there was, like, it was toward the start of the weekend, and I lived in an area where there's loads of apartment buildings. And me and a whole bunch of other people were playing American football. And my sister came and got me because there was a family situation. And so I needed to leave playing American football. And again, loads of people in my neighborhood, everything like that. Now, I don't know what they saw, but the family situation, I'm trying to like kind of put the pieces together. The family situation was such that a family member was committed. So what they saw at that moment, they saw loads of police cars. They saw an ambulance. They saw someone who was restrained and taken out on a stretcher. And there were some knives involved, but nobody was cut, but it was possibly the police had confiscated that. Here's the story it became, okay? The story that went around the neighborhood among all the people that I knew was that I had been stabbed and died. Now, I had no clue about this until Monday morning, when I go to the bus stop, and everyone sees me at the bus stop, and it was, as I say, it was great fun, because people were freaking out, right? There was like a mixture of excitement, but also like, can't process this, can't put this together. People were actually asking me to show me where I had been stabbed when I was telling them I hadn't been stabbed, right? They just couldn't figure it out. So of course, I didn't rise from the dead. But many people have. So what makes Jesus' resurrection so special? Now already, even by saying many people have been resurrected, you might be wondering, are there other resurrections? What's he talking about? Now, by the way, my goal this morning, kind of a topical sermon actually, my goal this morning is to help you better understand the significance of Jesus' resurrection, okay? But let me start, if you don't mind, by causing some trouble, okay? So when we celebrate this morning, we might say things like, Jesus is risen from the grave, he was resurrected. But Jesus wasn't the only person to be resurrected. Think about it. Jesus rose from the grave, but so did Lazarus, or the widow's son at Zarephath, or the Shunammite's son, or the man who'd been thrown into Elisha's grave, or Jairus' daughter, or the young man at Nain, or some saints that came back to life during the crucifixion, or Peter resurrected Tabitha, or Paul resurrected Eutychus. That's just the resurrections we know about in the Bible. Surely there may be others as well. And even then, if you compare, let's compare Jesus' resurrection to that of Lazarus, which just seems wrong to do, right? But you've got a grave with each of them. You've got a stone. In fact, Lazarus comes out to a crowd of people. In fact, Lazarus was in the grave for longer. So what makes Jesus' resurrection more significant than that? Now, some of you are clever, and you're all clever, but you know. And you might say that with all those other resurrections, the people still eventually died. So the significance is that Jesus defeated death. Okay, Enoch defeated death. Even better, Enoch never died in the first place. Death completely defeated. Like it says in Genesis, Enoch walked with God and then was no more because God took him away. And Hebrews elaborates on that to say Enoch was taken from this life so he did not experience death. And Enoch isn't the only one. Elijah never died as well. So if the resurrection is to show God's power over death, then it isn't such a big deal. God's shown that before. You guys comfortable with this? You happy so far? Right? Or you might say that the significance of Jesus' resurrection is the way he was resurrected. The stone was rolled away, the angels. Amazing, but let's compare. Elijah was taken to heaven by a chariot of fire and horses of fire and a whirlwind, which all sounds very exciting. So if the resurrection was to show the majesty of Jesus, then why wasn't it as spectacular as that of Elijah? Right? And so among all these examples, including many resurrections, what makes Jesus' resurrection so unique? And let me suggest this morning that in the things that we say, we mean more than what we say. Okay? So check this out. Here's some things to think about as to what makes Jesus' resurrection unique. First, I want to say that it's unique in what it says about Jesus. Okay? Like it's unique. And connected to this, it's unique in that it declares his authority. With all the other resurrections, there's someone else calling the person forward from the grave. And the clear message with all the other resurrections is that God gets the glory because he's the one who's doing it. With Jesus' resurrection, we get something different. In fact, no one is calling Jesus from the grave. And as we look at Scripture, we find the whole Trinity is involved in the resurrection, and even Jesus himself. And that's how Jesus can say in John 2 about his own body, "Destroy this temple and I will raise it up in 3 days." Or John 10, "I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to take it, to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again." And what we see is that in Jesus' resurrection, there's something about his authority. But as well, there's something about how it confirms who Jesus said he was and who all the prophets had said he was. Like there's this massive weight, of reality that must be borne by what actually happens. If Jesus is the Son of God, if Jesus is the Messiah, then surely death doesn't conquer him. Let me ask a question, just kind of a bit of fun, but has anybody ever bought one of those foam mattresses and it comes and it's like in a box? Anybody know what I'm talking about? There's just like a few people. Okay, well, if you buy one of these foam mattresses and it comes in a box and you're like looking at it, Joe and I once bought a king-size mattress. And it came in this box, and you're thinking, how is this possible, okay? And you pull it out, and you cut the plastic, and all of a sudden, it's terrifying because of how it expands, okay? And basically, I had chosen this particular king-size mattress incredibly carefully. Like, I had scoured all the Amazon reviews. This was like 11 years ago. Maybe we could do a better job now. But scoured the reviews, chosen it. We get it. We open it. We try to use it, and it was terrible. Loads of reviews, all really positive. What's going on? Again, we try to use it. It's unlivable. Like, it's that bad, right? And so then there's the thing where you're kind of going, all right, well, I should then return it. I should figure out how to return it. And they had this, yeah, you can see what's coming. They had their return policy sewn up. In fact, it actually said that you had to put it back in the box. Okay. Not only that, but you had to pay a 75-pound restocking fee, and you had to ship it back to them. And I was thinking, like, this is impossible. So I was frustrated. I put a negative review on Amazon. Real quick, they got in touch, and they said, we will collect it in its current condition. You won't have to pay the restocking fee, and you'll get completely refunded, so long as you take down your negative review. Right? Now, I don't know about you, but if Jesus had stayed in the grave, it wouldn't make sense of all that he had said. It would be like false advertising. Be like all the promises that on that mattress. Do you know what I mean? Like, that weren't true. Because what we see with Jesus' resurrection is it confirms who he is, his authority. It confirms who other people said he was, confirms what he said about himself. And it brings us right to a really key thing that we celebrate today, and that's who Jesus is. Second thing I want you to see that's unique is it's unique. Jesus' resurrection is unique in his resurrection body. And this is important. In fact, Paul will talk at length in 1 Corinthians 15 about the spiritual body that we'll one day have. And it's a really odd idea, a spiritual body. Like in Greek, what you've got is immaterial material. It doesn't make sense. And that's exactly right. Because Jesus' body to us doesn't make sense. Think about it. He walked through walls, disappeared from sight, masked his appearance, like something very spiritual about the body that he had. And yet he also broke bread and walked places and cooked fish. Right? And so what we get with Jesus' resurrection is we get somehow like a foretaste or an image of what is coming that is different and better than what we know. And so Jesus is unique in his resurrected body. In fact, let me read, I've got a poem here that, and I think it really connects with the embodied series that we've just had as well. But just the tangible reality of the resurrection. Check this out. This is by John Updike, and it's called Seven Stanzas at Easter. Make no mistake. If he rose at all, it was as his body. If the cell's dissolution did not reverse, the molecules reknit, the amino acids rekindle, the church will fall. It was not as the flowers, each soft spring recurrent. It was not as his spirit in the mouths and fuddled eyes of the 11 apostles. It was as his flesh, ours. The same hinged thumb and toes, the same valved heart, that pierced, died, withered, paused, and then regathered out of enduring might, new strength to enclose. Let us not mock God with metaphor, analogy, sidestepping transcendence, making of the event a parable, a sign painted in the faded credulity of earlier ages. Let us walk through the door. The stone is rolled back, not papier-mâché, not a stone in a story, but the vast rock of materiality that in the slow grinding of time will eclipse for each of us the wide light of day. And if we have an angel at the tomb, make it a real angel. Weight with Max Planck's quanta, vivid with hair, opaque in the dawn light, robed in real linen, spun on a definite loom. Let us not seek to make it less monstrous for our own convenience or our own sense of beauty, lest, awakened in one unthinkable hour, we are embarrassed by the miracle and crushed by remonstrance. It's beautiful, isn't it? It's Jesus' resurrection is unique in his resurrection body. But then finally, Jesus' resurrection is unique. And this is behind all the things that we say. It's unique in the hope that it holds for us. Lazarus' resurrection doesn't mean much for you and me. But Jesus does. And scripture holds together that the importance of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection as a single piece declaring who Jesus is and his ability to save those that follow him. And so in Scripture, the perfection of Jesus' life becomes our perfection as we're forgiven. The judgment endured in his death pays the price that you and I should pay. His resurrection is our resurrection. And it's not about God's power over death. That's a given. But it's about God's promise that through Christ, you will conquer death. And that's why it's unique in what it holds for us. And which is part of what God was building to in salvation history. Like we read about this, for example, in 1 Peter 1. But we celebrate at Easter this awareness of the big story that God is writing. God knew that because of your sin, you would need a Savior. God's plan was always that salvation would be made possible through Jesus. And the resurrection of Jesus points forward to when we will be resurrected as Jesus returns. And so there are many things that we might say at Easter, but the significance of each of these phrases are much bigger than what we say. Jesus is risen. Jesus has defeated death, and the stone is rolled away. But the significance of these phrases runs right to who Jesus is and what it means for us as a resurrected people. Let's pray. Father, thank you for Jesus' resurrection unlike any other. I pray that you would increase our faith, that you'd help us to live as a resurrected people. Father, I pray that the significance of what we celebrate today would come more and more to our mind, our heart, our understanding, that you'd bless us in it. In Jesus' name, amen.